Good afternoon, everyone. Hi. It's nice to see you. I would just like to say that with the this is the last afternoon and the last seminar session of Soul Survivor A. I always think the people who are brave enough to come to a seminar on this afternoon, you are like the spiritual elite of this campsite. You're like the most godly people that are in the 4,500 people that are here. You're the outstanding, you're the most like Jesus out of all of them, so thank you for being here. My name's Chris, and I lead a church in Salford, in a little estate called Langworthy. We've been doing that for about 13 years. I've just also about to start as a 2 days a week as a tutor at St. Miletus College in Liverpool. And I'm part of Soul Survivor as well. I'm one of the trustees of Soul Survivor. You might also see me this week running Cafe Uno, serving you a hot chocolate this evening if you want to come in. We make the best chocolate mountains and also fantastic shmoo milkshakes, which is my particular favourites. So do come in. And we're going to start, we're going to talk about prayer, and we're going to start by reading from the Bible. We're going to read Luke chapter 11, if you want to look at that. And it says this: "One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples.' He said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.'" And so this is where I want to start, really, with that thought of the disciples saying to Jesus, "Teach us to pray." That's where the kind of motivation for this seminar comes from. Do anyone here, you're into playing sports, competitive sports? One of you, two of you, three, okay, a few of you. I used to, when I was a kid at high school, I used to like playing badminton. And I used to think I was quite good. And I would beat my brother. Well, he was 4 years younger than me, but I would always beat him. And I would beat most of the mates that I would play against in my class at school, and some of my friends as well. And so I kind of thought, I could make something of this, you know. I could be a good badminton player. Maybe I could play for a club or something like that. I used to think I was great. I had a few good shots, decent backhand, good serve. I like smashing it down. And I was quite kind of confident in my own ability to play badminton. Now, then I played this lad from my school called Lee Fernley. It's funny how you always remember the full name, isn't it? Lee Fernley. And he didn't look like much, to be honest, but we had an afternoon in PE, and some of the other classes played with us. And I played against Lee Fernley, and he served right at my body, and I couldn't return it. I thought, that was a bit annoying, he's beating me now. And then he serves again, and then he gets another point. And then eventually I managed to get it back, but then he just smashes it past me, and I'm thinking, this is a bad start. Just start again. Think about this. And he completely destroyed me. I didn't win a point. There was hardly any rallies whatsoever. And I started to realize that I thought that I knew how to play badminton, but this kid actually knew how to do it. He was a proper player. I was someone who kind of had a couple of shots that could beat my little brother. But actually, mostly, I didn't have a clue about how to do it. And it was only when I came across someone who actually knew how to do it that I suddenly realized how bad I was and how much I needed to learn how to play. And that's a bit like the experience that Jesus' disciples have. Because Jesus' disciples sit there and they say, "Jesus, can you teach us to pray?" Now, that's an interesting question for some devout Jews to ask someone. Because these lads that Jesus is investing in, his disciples, they've spent all of their lives praying. They pray three times a day. They pray the Psalms. They go to synagogue. They know how to pray. They've been taught how to pray But they meet this guy, Jesus, and suddenly it's like, well, we thought we knew how to pray, but actually this guy really does know how to pray, and we need him to teach us. And it was a bit like that. That was like my experience playing this kid at badminton, and I thought I knew it, and I thought I was good, but I was absolutely shocking when it came down to it. I used to be a drummer as well, and I remember our band recorded an album, and I started to play, and I tried to record, and we had a click track that you had to be in time with, and I remember hearing it back with a click track which was properly in time, and it was just all over the place. And I remember trying to do a take, a recording of this song that we'd written, and about the ninth time of doing this same song, I looked through the glass, and the sound guy was just like this, like rocking back and forth. And I thought, yeah, okay, so I need to learn how to play the drums. You know, I thought I was good, but actually I'm not. And that's the thing that the disciples have. You know, they've been praying all their lives, but Jesus comes along, and suddenly in the light of Jesus, they're like, there's this hunger that comes over them. So I would love it if we could just start with you just talking with the person next to you. If there isn't a person next to you, maybe find someone who doesn't have someone else near them. Just talk and just share. What is it that do you have any questions about prayer, or what's your experience of prayer? What do you find difficult? Just talk about your experience of prayer, if that's okay. You can get in threes if you want. Just have a quick chat for 2 minutes. What is your experience of prayer? Be great just to hear any little feedback, any things that you find difficult about prayer, anything that you've struggled with, any questions that you have. Not that I'm going to give you all the answers or anything like that, but it'd just be really interesting to hear kind of what are the questions that are raised when it comes to prayer. Who wants to shout something out to me? Yeah. Okay. So if you maybe feel a bit embarrassed, if you feel too young maybe to pray out loud or whatever, yeah. What else do people find? Yeah. Getting distracted by, okay, yeah, so when you've got other stuff going on and you're trying to pray and you get distracted, okay, what else? Come on, you were all talking, so you must have something, yep. Okay, so to know what to say, really, yeah, so it's sometimes hard, you'll sit to pray and you'll be like, you'll say some things and you don't know what's next, okay, what else? Yeah, okay, so you can talk, but you're not always good at listening in terms of praying. Okay, that's really interesting. We'll definitely look into that a little bit as we go on. Yeah. So this is when you're playing for someone else. You get too focused on what you're saying and your own. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. Yeah, when you pray out loud and you get your words mixed up, that's always embarrassing. One of my friends was he's a worship leader. I think I can share this with you. He was praying, and we were singing that song about setting our hearts on fire. And he was praying, and he just said, "God, set our farts on fire." That was amazing. Still got it recorded somewhere. Okay, when to be persistent, when to stop. That's really good. We'll talk about that in a bit as well. What, anything else? What I'd love to do, we've got like 25 minutes together. From now, I'd love to just share a little bit about some of my experience, some things I've found useful, and as a church together that we've found useful, and hopefully some of them will apply to you. We'll maybe have 5 minutes at the end if you want to ask anything more, or come and chat definitely anyway. One of the things that I do, I love books, I'm a proper book geek, and so whenever I want to grow in something as a Christian and some aspects of my Christian life, I'll buy a book about it. So if I start thinking I need to read the Bible more, I'll buy a book about how to read the Bible. And so when I want to pray more, I'll buy a book about how to pray. And I'll read it and I'll think, yeah, I should do that sometime. And then I'll go on to do something else. And it's like I read that Richard Foster book, The Celebration of Discipline, which Mike always recommends. And it's amazing. And I remember at the end of every chapter, I'm like, this is incredible. I'm totally going to put this into practice. But I'll finish the book first, then I'll come back to it a chapter at a time. Never do. But he's got all these amazing bits. And actually, it might be better to learn by doing it. By doing, you know, to learn something by actually doing it. We've got this game called Cub, which we play, loads of my mates play, and it's just this kind of garden game where you throw these wooden blocks and knock other things down. And when we always play it in the park, and it's quite different and interesting. So people always come and watch, and they always say, "How do you play it? What are the rules?" And I always say to them, "The way to learn this is by playing it with us. So join in, and we'll teach you as you go. The way to learn to pray is to pray and join in, and we'll learn as we go. Same with reading the Bible. Just do it." But these books that I buy on prayer, they always quite intimidate me. When I was about 17, I bought this book called Why Revival Tarries by a man called Leonard Ravenhill. And we were praying as a church for revival, that God would pour out his spirit on us and that we would see miracles and all of this stuff. And so this was a book about why it doesn't happen. And basically Leonard Ravenhill's answer was, you need to pray more. But at one point in this book, because I'm like getting really inspired, and in many ways it really changed my life. I wouldn't recommend it to you now, but because it's a bit dated in some ways. But one of the things he said at one point was, if you're going to be in Christian ministry and you're not praying at least 2 hours a day on your own in the morning, then just don't even bother. That's basically what he says. And I was like, as a 17-year-old, I'm like, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that right now. From now on, I'm going to pray 2 hours every morning, and I'm going to be an amazing revival person. And I would read all this stuff, and you see all these quotes about it, like Martin Luther. He used to say, I've got a very busy day today, so I'm going to, instead of praying for my usual 1 or 2 hours, I'm going to pray for 3 or 4 hours because I'm so busy. So I need to have more prayer. And I was like, wow, I can do that. You know, I'm going to try to do that. And I tried a lot, and I failed a lot as well. part of my personality, I love being with people. So I was reading these books that were telling me, the more holy you are, the more you can spend time. If you want to get more and more close to Jesus, you have to spend more and more time on your own. And so I'm getting in the room on my own for like 2-3 hours and feeling really sad and depressed and really tired and struggling and thinking, this is not good. I don't like this. And then I pray with my mates and I love it. And I feel closer to Jesus. But it says in those books that I need to get on my own all the time, and I need to have 3 or 4 hours in the morning when I'm busy. And so I was confused with that. I'm also someone who, I'm not very good with routine. I like to have fresh things. I like new things and new challenges. And so just the idea of doing the same thing exactly every day, that I found that really boring, that I would do the same thing every day for the rest of my life. And so I need to keep having fresh things to do. And so I guess I've got, and don't be intimidated by this number, but I've got 9 things that I want to share with you over these next 23 minutes. 9 things. First thing is to nick other people's prayers. So those of you that said that thing about you don't know what to say, if I'm like that, I'll stand and I'll pray for someone. I'll say, oh, bless this person, help him, fill him with your spirit. And then I'm like, what do I say now? That's why I like SoulSurvive, because they're like, just stand there. You don't say a lot, you know. And I like that. But I'm like, well, when I'm chatting with God and I'm thinking, I don't know what else to say. And I just say the same things, but in different words. And I'm from a background, of church background that values spontaneous prayer. So like, you know, my church background don't have any written prayers, liturgies and stuff like that. We all make our prayers up as we go along, and that's more holy somehow. But I discovered over the last few years the value of nicking other people's prayers. So that's one of the things that we do, you know, using written prayers and using prayer books and stuff like that has actually been really helpful to me. I was brought up thinking that it was just incredibly boring and pointless, and where's the relationship of them just reading something out? But what written prayers do, like the prayers that the church have written over all the years, they give us like a language to pray. So if we use them, then they're like a basis by which we can have like a vocabulary of prayer. It's like learning a new language. How do we communicate with God? We can use some of the language that the church has used for the last 2,000 years, and that's okay. And so it's not that we don't pray spontaneously, but we can use those prayers that the church has kind of come around and have the prayers that have been special to the church over the years. So For example, the Lord's Prayer. If you're Anglican here, yeah, I'm sure you pray the Lord's Prayer all the time, but for me, my church background, the Lord's Prayer is used more of a kind of, as like a basis, like a basis for our prayers. So it'll, each line will start off, you know, Father in Heaven, so we'll use that to talk about the Father and all of that stuff. But actually, when you read Luke chapter 11, like we did before, and they say, Lord, teach us to pray, and Jesus says, literally, he says to them, when you pray, say this. When you pray, say it. And the meaning of the Greek word is just recite these words. So he actually does command us to say those words, not just to use them as the basis of other ideas, but to say that prayer. We said that prayer together this morning when we came together. We're obeying something there that Jesus told us to do. When you pray, use those, literally use those words that he gives us. Also use them as the basis of other things, but use those words to pray. Here's an idea. It's the 1st of August. That's not an idea. That's a fact. Here's an idea based on the fact it's the 1st of August. Why don't this month, to start you off on praying regularly, set your alarm on your phone for 12 noon, and every day at 12 noon during the month of August, say the Lord's Prayer. Copy it out of the Bible or wherever you want. Get it off the internet and put it in your phone. And at 12 noon every day, your phone will beep and it will say the Lord's Prayer in front of you, and just say it and use, and it might lead you into a different type of prayer. You know, it might lead you into praying for someone else, but just say it every day for 31 days. How many days are in August? 30 days of September. 31. So for the 31 days of August, you'll have prayed for 31 days in a row. Set it now if you want to. Set your alarm to remind you at 12 noon every day this month to pray the Lord's Prayer. Obey what Jesus says. Also, use some of the prayers in the Bible. So, the Apostle Paul is brilliant at writing prayers. So, when I'm praying for people sometimes and I get to that point where I think, what am I going to say now? I'll kind of get Ephesians chapter 1 out and I'll go, I keep asking that the Lord, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you, what's your name? Kevin. May give you, Kevin, the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. That's a really good prayer. You know, and Jesus wants to answer that prayer because he inspired Paul to write it in the Bible. And so I'm praying a really good prayer that's in the scripture that God has inspired. And so we can use these words. And then these words start me off praying other things for. Because if I start praying for Kevin that the eyes of his heart are enlightened and opened, well, what does that mean in your life? And if I know you a bit, then I'll be able to say other things around that. And what would that look like in your life and the work that you do and the ministry that God's called you to? Use written prayers, and don't be embarrassed about it, but use it to increase your vocabulary when it comes to prayer. That's a really good thing to do. So you nick other people's prayers, that's the first thing. Secondly, pray both regularly and spontaneously. Pray regularly and spontaneously. So regular stuff. Like I said before, I'm not that good at doing things regularly. I need fresh things, but recently, there's Andrew, my brother over there sitting down behind the cameraman in the pink top. He's at the start of the year, he decided to do this thing where you run at least for 2K every day, and you try and do a running streak and how many you can get in a row. Now, I think Andrew did 50 in a row. He did 50 in a row, and then he got injured, because he always does, and he had to stop, and I thought, I'm going to do 3 weeks, 21 days. But then when Andrew stopped, I thought, if I can get past 50 days, then, and I never stop, he can never beat me, ever. So I'll always be better than him. And so I'm on, I did 95 and then I had to have an operation. But then since then, I'm now back to 92 in a row. I'm going to do at least a year. That's my aim. So I've been up at 6:30 every morning since I came to Soul Survivor, running for 2K in order to beat Andrew. and be better than him. But it also, it's made a big difference in my life. And I started thinking, if I can do that, why can't I just pray regularly while I'm doing it? So when I run for those 15 minutes or so, it's a short time, but why can't I pray as I run? So when I'm running around the streets of Salford at home, where God's called me to do and to see his kingdom come, as I run, I pray for that school that I run past, and I pray for that person that I'm running past, and I pray for the houses of the people who live in those houses that I'm running past, and I pray those verses where, you know, wherever you set your feet, I will give that to you, says the Lord, and I pray stuff like that. And because I'm doing the run anyway, and what else am I going to do apart from, I can listen to a bit of worship music as well. So I may as well pray as I run, because I've carved out those 15 minutes. And why couldn't I carve them out before? Well, actually, I'm doing something that I enjoy doing and that gives me a physical benefit. So if I combine that with prayer, then I'm praying every single day for 15 minutes. And maybe sometimes I'll not pray that entire time, but I can pray in tongues, I can pray in English, I can be thinking about Jesus, I can be worshipping. And so we can pray regularly in that way, daily. So think about the daily things. I use this website which is just commonprayer.net. commonprayer.net, and it's a guy called Shane Claiborne and some of his mates who've put together just a daily prayer thing. You can look it up, you can have it on, I think there's an app that they do as well, and you can just go on that, and it's just a bunch of prayers and a Bible reading, and you can do that every day. It's free, and it takes about 15 minutes to do it. So when I've got time, if I do my run, and I've still got time when I get home, I'll go through that, read a bit of the scriptures as well, and that becomes a decent quiet, a decent time with Jesus, which is regular. Okay, so pray daily. Think about what you do weekly as well. So daily, what do we do each day? Maybe you're going to do the Lord's Prayer at midday every day. That's a good thing to do as well. Weekly, what do you do? Can you get together with some friends and pray once a week? Because that's what one thing that works with me. If you're not that good on your own, can you get together with some friends to pray if that inspires you? In our church, we've got a Tuesday morning and a Thursday morning prayer thing where we just meet together and we pray for our community and our friends and each other. When I was a teenager, I used to go to our church's 6:15 a.m. prayer meeting on Wednesdays every week, which was a killer. But actually, it was really good because it inspired me to pray with others. And it showed a kind of commitment for us that came, that we were committed to seeing God come and change things. Think about daily, each day, what would you do? Weekly, monthly, annually, once a year I go away by myself for 2 or 3 days, which is really hard, and to spend some quality time, a bit of extended time with Jesus. Depending on what age you are, depends on how practical that would be, but maybe if you're in a youth group, you could arrange to go on a prayer weekend. So, a bunch of you could go away somewhere in order to pray. You can go out in the countryside for a couple of hours on your own, get back together, talk about what Jesus has said to you, worship together, eat together, go off again, and do that kind of retreat thing. If you can book something like this, that in once a year, where you stop and you take stock of your life. That's what I'm doing on those annual prayer retreats. And so what I do is, I'll go on my own during the daytime, and then I'll make sure I'm getting together with some friends in the evening, because if I don't do that, I find it too difficult, and so I can process what God's been saying during the day with my friends in the evening. So think, when you're talking about praying regularly, about each day, each week, each month, and each year. What kind of things could you book in? What kind of rhythms could you get in your life to make sure you're praying regularly? And also, the other thing that the Bible teaches us, not just about praying regularly, but what we call prayer without ceasing. So in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, for those of you taking notes, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul says, pray without ceasing. And that's like, how do you do that? You know, how on earth do you do that? But it's a practice thing where we become aware of the presence of God, that he's with us wherever we go. Whatever we do, wherever we go, he's there. As we breathe in, as we breathe out, we breathe in his presence. We breathe out the stuff that he's given to us. And so we're aware that God is with us, whether we're at church, at Soul Survivor, whether we're doing the washing up, whatever we're doing, Jesus is with us. One person said, I never pray for more than 10 minutes, but I never go more than 10 minutes without praying. And I think that's an interesting idea, that it's about checking in regularly with God and being aware of his presence with us. Sometimes that's hard because you forget. So it's good to have like little reminders that you can use. In my wallet, whenever I take out my bank card, behind it is a list of prayers, the things that we as a church are praying for. So I keep that behind my bank card because whenever I get that out, put some petrol in the car, buy something from the shop, it's always there. And behind that one is the Lord's Prayer on that yellow card. And so it reminds me to pray. So whenever I'm in, you know, I'm in a shop, I get that out and I start, and in my head I'm praying the Lord's Prayer for that person as they're beeping through my my shopping. I don't usually pray out loud, but I'm aware of the presence of God. So set up reminders for yourself, whether it's stuff on your phone that just says pray once a day, it just beeps and you answer it and it goes pray. Okay, I'll pray. So stuff like that. Someone said something about how long do we pray for? You know, how do we know when to pray and when to stop? In Luke 18. Jesus tells this story about the persistent widow who just keeps coming back to this judge until eventually she gets what she's asking for. And it says and Luke tells us that Jesus taught them to that story to show them that we should pray and never give up. That we should pray and never give up. In our church, we've seen over this last year some amazing instant answers to prayer, which I'll tell you about one or two of them later. But we've also seen situations like, for example, one of my friends is got cancer and she's had to have several operations, and so we're praying and then she has this operation and that's successful and we're all thanking God for it, and then the wound goes infected and so we're praying again, and over months and months and months, every Tuesday morning, every Thursday morning, every Sunday, we're going back to God for her and we're saying, God, let your kingdom come there. Because you asked us to pray, you taught us to pray and never give up, to pray, and we're not going to give up for her. We're not going to give up for her. We're going to keep praying. We're going to keep coming back. In Isaiah 62, I think it talks about the watchman on the walls, and it says, "Give yourselves no rest, and give him no rest. Give God no rest until his kingdom comes." And there's a call on our lives to just keep coming back to God and saying, "This is what you've taught us. This is what your kingdom should look like. So we're going to keep asking you for it. We're going to keep asking you for it." Years ago, God gave us these prophetic words about seeing loads and loads of young people in our estate come to know Jesus. And we've seen a number over the years, but not like we imagine and not like we think God's told us. So we just keep coming back and saying, "Pour out your spirit on us. Let us see amazing healings. Let us see loads of people come into your kingdom." We just keep coming back with that same thing again and again and again, and we won't give up because Jesus taught us to pray and to not give up. We keep going and we keep knocking on the door and asking him to come. Does that make sense? Just a few other things. Number four, pray and trust that God is good. Trust that God is good. One of the most important things in prayer is to believe in the goodness of God, that he loves you and he's for you. A lot of Christians come to God thinking he's unpredictable and he might not want the best for you, you know. I remember I was with someone and they said, and a couple of people were chatting and one of them said, "Oh, I'd hate it if God sent me to this country." And their friend said, "Don't say that because he probably will. and I just thought, what kind of view of that is God, that he'll do the thing that you really don't want to do? You know, actually, if he's created you, and probably the stuff that he's put in you, the passion, the things you're passionate about, they're the things he wants you to do. It's not the things that you don't like. And, you know, and sometimes we're in situations that are difficult, but sometimes Christians have got this view of God that he's a bit kind of cruel to us, or he's unpredictable. You know, if we say this, then it'll make him do that. And actually it's nonsense. And God is good. One of the most important decisions, especially those that are young, but all of us, one of the most important decisions you'll make in your life, and you'll probably have to make it a number of times, is, do I really believe that God is good and that I can trust him? Do I really believe that God is good and that I can trust him? And if you make that decision, yes, then it will transform your life. It will transform the prayers that you pray. It will transform the way that you live and how you see yourself if you truly believe and accept that God is good and that you can trust him. Loads of people get worried about all kinds of things in the Christian life. What happens when I die? What happens to these people? What's God doing in the world? What about evil? If you believe that God is good and you can trust him, it will make all the difference, because you'll have a peace because of that, that no one else has, unless that kind of, you believe in that, that God has taught us that he is good and that we can trust him. That's really important in prayer. In fact, I could do a whole seminar on that, but we won't just now. Number five, make space to listen. This is what someone over there was saying. It's hard to listen. Some people say prayer is just like chatting to my mates. It's not, though, is it? Let's be honest, it's not. Because when I'm chatting to my mates, they chat back to me straight away. Now, when I chat to God, it's not like that. So I'll say, you know, God, what should I do? Should I take this job, or should I do something different? And I don't know about you, maybe you do, but I don't hear an audible voice come back to me immediately and tell me the answer. It's like that. It's not like chatting to my friends. It's not like giving someone a call and then they say hello, you know, I don't know, that might be, you might have that experience, but it isn't like that. It's different. There's a mystery to it. There's a, one of my friends said, it feels a bit like searching the internet sometimes. You plug in, you dial up to it, and then you start to search, and sometimes you find stuff, and no, that's not God, that's not right. And then eventually you'll stumble on something, and it's like, yeah, this is what I need, this is what I'm looking for. And sometimes it's like that in prayer. We search, and sometimes there's the lady in the seminar before was talking about when God's silent and what that's like, and when we don't hear God. And when we don't hear God, there's all sorts of things we can do, but one of the main ways we can do that is by reading his word and by getting into the Bible, because God has spoken. You know, if we're thinking God's not speaking back to me, read this, because this is the way that God's spoken to us, and ultimately in Jesus and what Jesus did. If we want to know what God wants for our lives, we don't need to wait for some angel to come and tell us or an audible voice. Just read this, get to know it, and this tells you what you're supposed to do with your life, and get on with it. And so Jesus does speak to us, but he speaks in different ways. And again, that's a thing that that we could do a whole session on. Number 6 of 9, ask the Holy Spirit to help you to pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to pray, because that's one of the roles of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. In Romans chapter 8, it says this: in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray. That's what we were just saying. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. When we don't know what to pray, like sometimes me and my friends will get together, and it might be a really seemingly impossible thing, like for our friend who's suffering with cancer. Sometimes I get together and I just think, I don't know what to say now. I've said it all. I don't know what else I can say. And then those moments we'll just say, would you, Holy Spirit, would you help us now? Would you help us and give us some words? Maybe they're in the Bible. And as we do that, we might start to worship together a bit. And suddenly it's like the prayers come from here. They come from within us and they start coming out. Maybe you'll speak or sing out in tongues, and God will give you like that prayer language that enables you to say things that, you know, in groanings that words cannot express. And sometimes it'll be in English and you'll think, wow, I didn't think I had that within me. But actually the Holy Spirit is within you if you're a Christian, and he will help you to pray. So ask the Holy Spirit when you come, and especially when you don't know what to say, because the Spirit will help you to pray. We got 7 minutes to go. Seventh thing, be creative. Be creative. All of us are creative. You might be an arty type person. You might be musical. Whatever it is, use your creativity in prayer. Whether it's painting a prayer, whether it's, if you're a writer, writing the prayers in kind of poetic ways. Like I said before, I was a drummer. Still am a little bit. But because music can be a form of prayer as well. As a band, we used to find that as we worshipped, our worship would become, we would start to pray for other people. And when I was playing the drums, I found that my drumming wasn't just meant for kind of just to keep the beat and to help the band to lead the people in worship. But my drumming was for me an act of worship just from me to God. It wasn't just to help the to be a part of a band, but it, I was communicating, I was saying something to God through what I was hitting, if you know what I mean. And we can do that. In the Old Testament, some musicians were told to prophesy using their instruments. That's what King David set aside, some musicians, to prophesy using their instruments. So to communicate, so when we prophesy, we're communicating what God is saying to other people. You can do that with instruments because you can play a certain chord and it makes people feel in a certain way, doesn't it? Or I could play a certain drum beat and it inspires people to feel a certain way. And that's the Holy Spirit that has inspired me to do that. Even though I can't put it into words, because I could just come up and say, I think the Lord is saying that he's calling us to be like warriors for Jesus. But I could get on the drums and play this kind of like a really passionate drum beat and people will feel it more deeply than me just saying the words. Does that make some sense? So use your creativity, because God has given us the arts and music to communicate sort of part of who he is and to connect with Jesus. Two more things. Prayer is not just for Christians, it's for everyone. And we can give people an experience of prayer. So one example, as a church in the last 3 years, we've gone into our local primary schools, two of our local primary schools this year, and set up a prayer room in the schools. And so last month in June, July, we went in two different schools and we spent a week. And the result of that was 840 children who live in our estate spent an hour each in a Christian prayer room praying, which is cool, isn't it? And all of them pretty much loved it. The staff loved it. And one of the schools is a C of E and the other one is just a community school. But they were all like amazed by the effects that it had on the children who were there. The staff were really keen for us to follow it up. The deputy head of one of the schools asked us last year if we would come back in to the school for the last 6 weeks of term and lead a kind of follow-up to the prayer week with any of the kids who wanted to know more about Jesus, so that we could tell them about what Christianity is and introduce them to the Christian faith. So we spent 6 weeks in school time at 2 till 3 p.m. taking kids out of classes to basically to talk to them about Jesus and tell them about the Christian faith. And it's an amazing privilege that, but there's a hunger in people who are not Christians for an experience of God, something deeper. And we need to find more and more creative ways of letting people experience prayer. And those kind of things in schools are great. The stuff that people do when they're taking out, praying for people for healing on the streets and things. That's another great way that we've done as a church in the past, taking prayer out onto the streets and making it available to people. So prayer is not just for us as Christians, it's for everyone. But it's our job to help to make that happen. 3 minutes to do the last point. Do some prayer with fasting. None of you want to do this. Neither do I. Prayer with fasting is something that we've been doing a little bit more of recently as a church. I don't like it. I don't enjoy it at all. I like food, and I don't like missing it. And sometimes it makes me feel a bit funny when I do. But Jesus said it in Mark chapter 9, verse 29. The disciples had gone out, and they tried to cast a demon out of this guy, and it didn't work. And they came to Jesus and said, "What happened then?" You know. And Jesus said, "This kind only comes out with prayer and fasting." Now, some versions of the Bible say just prayer, but a lot of the earliest church had the version which said prayer and fasting. And I think the earliest church had this belief that when you pray and fast as well, something extra happens. There's like an extra thing that it's like gives you more power in your prayer, gives you more focus. And that's certainly our experience. If you've never done any fasting before, one good way to start, if you want to fast, it's fasting from food, is have your kind of evening meal one night. And then the next time you eat will be 24 hours later, that the next evening. So you'll miss breakfast and lunch. Now, that won't kill you. If you're addicted to coffee, it might make you feel a bit weird. But it was quite safe to do that. Drink lots of water. And when you're at breakfast time and lunchtime, pray. Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So read your Bible during that time. Feed yourself with it and see what happens. See what happens to your prayers. Don't do it on your own. Do it with other people. If you might have medical conditions, which means you shouldn't do that. But if you don't, most of us can pray and fast. We started our year this year as a church with 3 weeks of prayer and fasting. So every week we did a 24-hour thing in the middle, and then we did what's called a Daniel fast, where you don't eat any meat or drink any alcohol or eat any puddings and things like that. And so we fasted together, and this is the last thing I'll say. On the first day of the fast, one of our friends called me up, and she said, my daughter is going in, and before the fast I'd said, we might see some amazing stuff happen these 3 weeks. And at the end of it, she rang me up, on the first day, she rang me up and said, my daughter's pregnant, she's just gone into hospital, she's bleeding, and the doctor's certain it's a miscarriage. Would you pray? So I was like, flip, this is a challenge for the first day. So I texted the church, said, can you pray for this? And we all prayed, and later that evening she texted me and she said, the doctors can't believe it, but they've done all the scans and everything, and the baby seems to be absolutely fine. And the doctor said, it's like it's a miracle. And that little baby was born about a month ago, and it is a little miracle baby. And I was like, this is the first day of the fast. What the heck is going to happen after this, you know? But loads of people at the end of those 3 weeks were just saying, I'd quite like to keep doing this because I've experienced the presence of God in a way that I haven't for years, you know? And so it was this amazing experience that we had. And even though people hated it at first, and a couple of people felt really sick for the first 3 days because they were addicted to caffeine, God met with us. And so if you've never done any prayer with fasting, I encourage you to try it. Try a Daniel fast for 1 week, or try a 24-hour thing where you eat both meals in the evenings, and just see what God does. But do it with other people. So we're done there. So let me just quickly go over it. Nick other people's prayers. Pray regularly and spontaneously. Pray and don't give up. Pray and trust that God is good. Make space to listen. Let the Spirit help you to pray. Be creative. Lead everyone in prayer, including people who are not Christians, and do some prayer with fasting.